Amen. Let us read this morning from the Word of God, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I will read from verse 12 through the end of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we read from verse 12, and this is the eternal Word of God. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, and have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So far, the reading of God's Word. Now, no surprise that we're going to pick that passage that says in verse 17, pray without ceasing in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, we all know, beloved, in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we celebrate, Lord willing, Thanksgiving. This coming Thursday, a celebration that is determined by American history and culture, and similar days are celebrated in Brazil and Grenada and St. Lucia and other countries in different ways and on different days. I grew very fond of this day for different reasons over the years. But I don't want to focus on Thanksgiving, the national holiday, but on Thanksgiving as a command of God, our Almighty God. And this is exactly what we find here, and in many other passages in Scripture. In this letter, Paul spoke here to the Thessalonians, and he spent much time teaching them on a whole lot of different topics to make them understand what it means to live a new life in Jesus Christ, and what that life looks like. If you go through this whole book, I cannot recall right now how many of these topics that he addressed to encourage them to sanctify, to be sanctified and live a sanctified life in different aspects of their lives, in how they, and we'll see that, and I'll summarize it here in a minute, even as a church, how they see those who live with them. So clearly, he was speaking here to believers, but he also addressed the issue that while you are looking how you live, always live with the expectation that this is not the end, that Jesus Christ is coming, and that you must always look forward to his return. So, in this even end of this chapter, or this book in chapter 5, he gives us a few clear instructions. One of the things that he says is appreciate those who diligently labor among you. Verse 12, those who rule, in other words, those who shepherd, those who preach, those who teach, in other words. he actually goes on and he say, esteem them very highly in love, but not for who they are as a person as much, but, and I hope it's never in contrast with each other, but for the sake of the work that they are called to do. And I think we must always remember that. Then he also say, live in peace with one another. In the end of verse 13, that is what God wants for his church. I think that is something that we as Grace always have to work towards, to not find a peace that is created by men or is a false kind of peace, but a peace that is clearly shown in our relationships that are built upon the Word of God. And our relationships that testify to the fact that our faith is built on Jesus Christ and our and His Word. Because then eventually we have that true unity and that true peace God wants for His church. He also say, admonish the unruly. So the whole idea of discipline in a church, he encouraged that. As Paul has done in other passages, especially to the Corinthians, when he spoke to them. Those who are unruly, they need to be disciplined. They need to be admonished. God is a God of order, and He demands order in His church. He also continued to say, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men, verse 14, and see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men, as he says in verse 5. And then another three short commands follow. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. And then he ends the sentence with, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I mean rejoice and pray and in everything give thanks. I think all three of those is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. I will focus on just that last. And then verse 19, he continued to talk about not quenching the spirit, despise prophetic utterances, and abstain from every form of evil. Give thanks in all. That's literally what he writes there. Give thanks in all. In all things, or under all, or in all circumstances. That is what we're going to focus on right now. So I want to break it up. First, focus on give thanks and what that means. And then the qualification that he clearly make here, when do we have to give thanks? Now, the word that he's using here for thanks or for thanksgiving is a word that you have heard in other circles. It's the Greek word eucharistia. And that literally means that we give thanks for God for good things, for His grace upon us. The first thing that we must ask ourselves while we keep that in mind is, who is Paul talking to here? And that will also answer the question, who must give thanks and who could truly give thanks? Now you would wonder, where am I coming from? But I'll show you where I'm heading. Paul was writing to the church here in Thessalonica. And so clearly he spoke with believers, people that knew God. And that brings the question up. Have you ever asked yourself whether it is possible for unbelievers to be thankful? Could they truly be thankful? I guess they could, but the question is, could they be biblically thankful? Now, I have heard unbelievers say, I am so thankful, for instance, that I was able to retire so quickly. Or I am so grateful that nothing went wrong on my long vacation. I am so thankful for this, or I am so thankful for that. Or sometimes their unbelief will be more obvious when they would express gratitude by saying, say, for instance, after a great financial year or a big return on the stock market, they would say, the cards were dealt for me very well, or the gods smiled upon me. And if you watch golf, it's fascinating how often that is being said by commentators. The gods smiled upon him when he made the putt. How would you describe that sense of thankfulness. To me, it looks like, at the most, this feeling of thanksgiving is but an expression of self-satisfaction. Of a satisfaction for things that you did to assure the good results that you accomplish for that which happened, or, as I said, what you gained. Or if you yourself are not the object of your thanksgiving, then you must ask yourself, who or what is then? Is it the gods, or is it chance, for that matter? Did it just happen? So, yes, I think the unbeliever could be thankful. He could even be thankful towards people that did well to him. But it seems that that is about where it ends. We read, for instance, an example of that gratitude in Acts chapter 24, too. We have that example of the attorney Tertullus. While they were bringing charges against Paul, he thanked the governor for the reforms that he brought about and the peace they experienced during his rule. And I mean, even the governor was not a believer. So how does the thankfulness of Christians look like? How does the thankfulness of the Christian differ from the feeling of satisfaction that an unbeliever expresses? The Bible used the word thankfulness in different settings. For instance, they would use it to express gratitude towards people, just as in the case with unbelievers, even among Christians. Romans chapter 6:4 is an example. And I'm going to give you some passages. Perhaps you can write it down and read it again later. Cannot go through all the passages here from the pulpit. There you would see in Romans 16, Paul was expressing his thankfulness towards Priscilla and Aquila. And he said they actually risked their own lives in order to save and to protect him. So it was an expression to fellow believers. But it also was it's also used to express gratitude for God's blessings that he bestow upon his children. In Colossians chapter 3:15 and in Hebrews chapter 12:28, we read, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. So there the thankfulness is towards the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And then there is also the command, the same words that are used, the command to give thanks or to thank the Lord. So, yes, to be thankful or to give thanksgiving or to give thanks or to thank the Lord, it all use the same word. And even more directly, we see and hear the connection of the object of our thanksgiving when you say to give thanks to the Lord. Because the object is whom? It's God Himself. Page after page in the Bible, that is what we find in this command. And I'm going to give you a few examples from the Old Testament, and then from the Psalms, and then also from the New Testament. For instance, in Leviticus chapter 22:19, we read that the Lord said about the priests, when you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. And also in 2 Samuel 22:47 and 50, when David sang to the Lord for delivering him from his enemies at the hand of Saul, what did he say? He said, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock of my salvation. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations. And so you can continue Deuteronomy 8:10, you see, every time it was a thankfulness that was expressed towards God. In the Psalms, you find the same thing. Psalm 7, verse 17, I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 9, verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. And then we could go on and on, and then eventually get to the New Testament, the Philippians, for instance, verse 3. When Paul speaks about the church in Philippi, And he said, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy. Same kind of thing he says about Colossians, the church in Colossae. Colossians 1:3, he says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And 1 Thessalonians 3, for what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? And then, of course, this passage, this well-known passage, where we also say, give thanks in everything. You remember the word used here is to give thanks to God for His goodness, for His grace that He bestowed upon us. So clearly, and that's the point that I want to make, you cannot be thankful if there is not the object of the person that you thank. You see? Thankfulness is not just a feeling of satisfaction, which eventually, if it is focused on yourself and your own abilities. It is not a dependency or gratitude towards yourself, or then, if it's not yourself, some other God or higher power, or because you believe, you know, something has just fallen in place for me perfectly by chance. No. Biblical thanksgiving for the believer is always directed to the living God. Now He, and He alone, for that matter then, is the object of our praise and our thanks. And we are obligated eventually to bring our thankfulness to Him. And so often we might feel this feeling of thankfulness, but how often do we truly express it to God? Because He is the one, if we acknowledge that, that caused this situation in my life to be thankful for. So there is a good reason why we have to do that. Because, think about it, with that being said, we also say, no one or nothing else could be worshipped by us or praised by us for what we are or for what we have. Only the true living God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit. He is the source of all good. And that is why James could say, every good thing given and every perfect gift come from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, and in whom there is no shifting shadow. James chapter 1, 17. All our thanks for all He does and give is due Him. Now that was, in a sense, not very difficult, I think, for us to understand, right? I did not tell you something new this morning. I'm very certain that I'm not going to tell you anything new in this sermon this morning. And that's the great thing about preaching. I always say it is also about reminding us to continue to do what we know. But a little more difficult part comes in when Paul comes and he says, give thanks, but then he adds, in all things, in every circumstance. So what a comprehensive statement this is. God does not only expect our thanksgiving, but He also commands our thanksgiving in all things. On a serious note, but how can I give thanks? Think about the woman who had a miscarriage. Well, she and her hubby so desperately wanted that baby. What if a body is just continuing to deteriorate by the treatments that he's receiving? And in the same time feel, but I still have so much to do. What about people who feel they are barely existing in a nursing home? Or the parent, we helplessly have to see how their children suffer. Or when we stand at the grave of a beloved one. Now, immediately, the short answer is, remember, the Word of God is inspired. So are these words. So this is not just a statement made by someone that does not understand life. This is a statement that was given to Paul by the Holy Spirit to tell us how to live each day in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. God indeed understood what he was saying here. He wants us to be thankful in everything. And I think that is, apart from the definition of thanksgiving, something that the unbeliever cannot understand. But even as children of God, you and I must make sure that we also truly understand, but what is it what God tells us here? I want to challenge you once again. Will you still praise God when you experience the thing or the things that scare you most? Perhaps something happens to your child. Will you then still thank him? Or would you rather say, why did you not do this to me, God? Why did you do it to my son or my daughter? Why my child? Why did you not touch my home? Why did you not touch my possessions? Why did you not touch my life? Why my child? Or out of the blue, there is a diagnosis of some sort that might be fatal. And it scares you to death. Will we still give thanks to God in everything when affliction is very trying and lengthy in our lives? When it lasts a week or so or a month, we're okay and we might be fine. But what if it lasts like a year? We have experienced this now with COVID. Are we still giving thanks to God under these circumstances? Or will we still give thanks to God when we are challenged with a variety of afflictions? When God allows one affliction after another, then we might say, no, Lord, please, not my body, or rather my possessions. You see, then it becomes a different scenario. And yet God says, give thanks in everything. Doesn't matter what the situation or circumstance, doesn't matter how long it is, doesn't matter the kind of affliction, give thanks in everything. Now, I think one thing must be clear, and that is that God does not mean to say, thank me that your child is dead, or thank me that you are sick. No, that is to take the heart that God has for his children out of him. And many afflictions we also know are caused by people's own stupidity and their own sin. And we must also calculate for that, and there's not time to really go into that right now. Yet God wants us to give thanks in everything. And the reason is why you and I can do that. It's because we know God. Think about that. We know who God is for us. He's not only the creator of the heavens and the earth. And as we have spoken this morning in new members class, like the deists that believe he's this far away God that has created the world and has put it like a watchmaker that it wound up on a shelf and just leave everything to itself. No, he's a personal God. He's personally involved in our lives. He has become, through Jesus Christ, our Father. And through our faith in Jesus Christ, that's exactly what he is for us. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, and he says this, "But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we are to cry out, Abba, Father." The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. You and I are children of the living God. God is our Father. And for the children of God, Paul continues in that same chapter in verse 28, and he says this well-known words, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." You see, Paul actually gives us a reason why we as God's children could always be thankful. Because God in His sovereignty causes all things, not only the good, but all things to work together for good in our lives. And see now, that statement that Paul made there is also a very comprehensive statement. It is not true for everybody. He says, God works all things, doesn't matter, good or bad, but only for certain people. It is only true for those who love God. Even in bad circumstances, we may trust in the Lord while knowing He will cause this to happen for His glory and for our good. Now, can I ask you now, if that is true, how could we not be thankful then? If God knows best. So there's good reasons to thank the Lord. As many others in the scriptures, why we have to thank God. Our passage says, "For it is the will of God." So be thankful. Seek reason to be thankful, because it is God's will. God wants His children to be thankful under all circumstances. He wants us to be aware of His grace and His kindness towards us. Even when you and I suffer, we need to go and look for it, because God promises that to us. What is it, Lord, that you want to accomplish through this in my life? How are you going to glorify yourself through these events in my life? That's how we eventually know why we have to continue to give thanks, because it's the will of God. 2 Corinthians 4:15 adds another reason. He says it brings glory to God. There we read, "For all these things are for your sake, so that the grace that is including more and more people may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God." But I think there's another reason, and that is that when we give thanks, even we ourselves benefit from it. We benefit from a life of thanksgiving. If you just go and read through the Old Testament again, the history of Israel, what happened to them when they were journeying through the desert? They were always complaining, right? They were always upset about something. They had, as the Bible says, a murmuring spirit, even when God provided for them. And then suddenly God challenge them again and try them again, and then suddenly they just give up and throw their hands up in the air and say, "Where is our God?" We actually long to the beef and the food that we had in Egypt. They longed back to their old life. You know why that happened? If you do not appreciate your salvation, if you do not appreciate the deliverance, I mean, how immaculate was the deliverance of Israel by God's miraculous hand, by His powerful hand. He has saved them from Egypt, and they did not see that. They did not appreciate that. When we take things for granted in our lives, when we have a sense of entitlement, then you actually start thinking that God is obligated to give you what you want. And even more dangerous, when you want God only for the things that He gives you, then you're in trouble. Because you must first of all have God just because you love Him as the giver Himself. How often do people serve God just because of what God can give them? The whole prosperity theology is built upon that basis. Follow Christ, and all your troubles will disappear. And then people live in poverty for 30 years and they still believe it. You know, the Lord has challenged us as a church, as a nation, in many ways in this past year. There were wildfires, there were hurricane damage, there were flooding. The pandemic is not over yet. The pandemic influenced our ministry. It influenced CEF's ministry. In so many different ways, we have experienced the challenges that trials bring with it. But still, God wants us to be thankful. So let me ask you, are you still a thankful people? Or have you become a murmuring people? Do you become upset? Or do you rest in the sovereign will of an almighty God who is still our Father, who promised to love us and who promised to protect us, even amidst of our trials? Do you still give thanks to our God, whose character never changes, even though our circumstances do? Be warned, because a heart that is tied up with murmuring can eventually end up at a degree beyond murmuring, like the wife of Job, who said to him, "Curse God and die." But what an amazing word did Job speak when he answered her. "Why do you speak as one of the foolish women? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil?" Even amidst of his trial, he reflects God's goodness that he has received, even amidst of that circumstance. God still maintained his relationship with his child. And isn't that amazing? It's not only God that doesn't change. He protects us so much that he doesn't want us to change. That we would still continue to be his child, his servant, and still continue to love him. Can we become more thankful? I think so. I think thankfulness is not something that comes naturally in our lives. And I think we should exercise ourselves to give thanks to God in everything. So perhaps this might help. By focusing on the greatness of God as the giver, and not only on the things that He gives us, let us focus on the abundance, secondly, of His mercies that God bestow upon us daily. Luther once said, "The sea of God's mercy should swallow up all our particular afflictions." The truth is that our afflictions come from the same eternal love that Jesus Christ came from. Do not forget that. And Psalm 25:10 says, "All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who love Him and fear Him." Not some. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness to His children. And thirdly, I think let us consider that we have but a short time here on earth. Peter reminds us of that truth, right? That while we have, it is in this you greatly rejoice. He says, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, this is not the end. The glorious is coming. One martyr once said to a fellow martyr, do but shut your eyes, and the next time they are opened, you shall be in another world. Will we not give thanks if we remember that the years on this earth, though it be 70 or 80, is but a blink of an eye compared to an eternity in the presence of the living God? Why would we not give thanks under all circumstances to our God? Are these only empty words? The Almighty God deals with us as our Father. And as a Father, He loves us and He cares for us. And our distress and pain and sadness and affliction grieves Him. And thus, in His grace, He promises that He will use it for His glory and for our benefit. He causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him. So this is my last question to you this morning. Do you truly believe that? Do you truly believe that God knows best? Christ knew that in the Garden of Gethsemane when He prayed that God would take away the cup from Him. But then He said, let not my will, but your will be done. That is how God's children are strengthened by the Holy Spirit to endure and still to be thankful even in difficult circumstances. Are you able to utter those words? God loves me and He's busy with me. That is reason enough for me. But even more perfect, let not my will, but your will be done. You are my Father. If you have experienced this love of God, you will be able to pray that. May Christ, in this thanksgiving, be the source of all our gratitude. And may you continue to abide to this command. Give thanks in everything. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we bring you praises and we give you thanks for all your goodness and your mercies, for all the blessings that you bestow upon us, for your promises that have become true in our lives, for the promise of eternal life, for the forgiveness of sins, for your Holy Spirit that was given to us to dwell in us, for the means of grace that you use to sanctify us, Lord, for the love that we have among each other. Lord, will you continue to increase our gratitude for you and for what you do for us, that we would always remember that who we are and what we have are all from you. And we pray in His name. Amen. Thank you. Please be in prayer for Larry and myself as we are traveling this week to Tennessee and Virginia, that we will not be stuck there for some silly reason. Receive God's blessing now and go from here in peace. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.